Holding Hapoop Gavra, bottom of Einzainam Bays, about 12 lines from the bottom line against Shalola Daita. Talking about throwing Gittin, which has been the subject of the Mishnah and the Gemara thus far, Hapoop Gavra de Zorach Lugitu Lugvesu, there's a man who threw a guest to his wife, have a Kaima Bechotzer. Now she was standing in the Chotzer, so that ought to be good enough. But also Gittin Nuffle Bepisla, but the guest landed on a piece of wood. There's different gersoys here, exactly. But the gist of it, yeah. So he threw it as sort of like a paper airplane. It sort of landed for a moment there in the chotzer, and then it landed on this piece of wood. So the question is, when it fell on a piece of wood, is that considered that it's in the chotzer? Now this is a chotzer that belongs to him, but it's or that's actually what I was going to say. What the case is, who the chotzer belongs to. So Amr Rav Yitzchak Chazinin, we have to consider it. You have Abba Amos al Abba Amos. If this pisla, if this piece of wood is at least 4x4 Amos, polig le reshus al nafshe, then it makes a reshus of its own. It's not bottle relative to the chatzir. The Eloy, and it's not chod reshus ahi, then it's all considered one reshus. The next question is, Maya Skinen, what's the case that we have to be concerned about this pisla being a separate reshus? Are we talking about, Tosis, by the way, points out that it may not be necessarily a reshus of its own as far as Shabbos. In fact, the Gemara is going to say in a couple of lines that the details of what it needs to be is to be considered a separate reshus are not identical to the ones of Shabbos. Anyway, if it's a chotzer of hers, if you have a dalet amos, my hobby. Who cares whether the pisla is 4x4 amos or not? The whole thing belongs to her. It landed on something that belongs to her. Ela b'chotzer didah, so you're going to say it's in his chotzer. So, Kiloi Haba Abba Amos, my Habi. So even if it's not four Amos, how does that help? What does it make a difference whether it's more or less than four Amos in size if it's his Chatzar? The answer is, Leit Zricha, the Oish Lamokim. The case is, it is his Chatzar. However, he left...
What?
Leit Zricha literally means, no, it's needed for the case. That the only case where we need this din... of Rav Yosef, that we have to see whether it's 4x4 Amos, we only need that statement in the following case. The Oish Lamokim, if he lent her a spot, so he has his chotzer, but she's standing in it, and he lent her a spot, that this way when he throws the get, that she'll be able to be coined that way. The Chad Mokim Moshli Inshri, Shem Mokim Esloi Moshli Inshri. People normally lend out, if they don't specify otherwise, they're lending out one area, not two. So if the pisla is less than 4x4 amos, it's bottled for the chotzer, so he lent her the chotzer temporarily to receive her get, then that includes any pisla that's in it. But if it's 4x4 amos, so it makes it a reshus of its own, or more, then we can't assume that that was included in the lending to her. The more so because when he threw it, he meant it to land in the actual chotzer. He missed it, or the wind blew it, or whatever it is, and it went from the chotzer and landed on the pisla. He never had that in mind in the first place. Says, this that we're saying that it depends whether it's 4x4 amos or less is only if it's not 10 tefachim tall. But if the pisla is 10 amos, 10 tefachim tall, then even if it's less than 4x4, it's also considered a place of its own. Again, for Hilchos Shabbos, that wouldn't necessarily be the case. For Hilchos Shabbos, such a thing that's at least 10 tall but less than 4x4 would be a makom patur. But for purposes of Gittin, no, we would consider it a thing of its own. Also, V'loy Amaron El Deles Leshim Levi. Also, furthermore, all of this only applies if the pisla has no secondary name. It's just called a pisla. It's just called a block of wood. Aval Isle Leshim Levi, but if it's considered important enough that it's called by a specific name, the round pisla, the tall pisla, whatever it is, then even if it's less than 10 tefachim tall, even if it's less than 4x4, it's considered a unit of its own, and therefore if the get landed on it, no good, because we can't assume that he meant to lend that to her as well.
If there is a specific name to
it. If it has a specific name. So far, what we have then is if it's 4x4, or if it's 10 tall, or if it has a name of its own. The Rambam actually adds a further detail to it, that it has to land within her four amos as well, and then the Mefarshim have a bit of a time discussing where exactly the Rambam gets that from this Gemara.
That's exactly what
one, one, interesting. Well, not the whole question whether you can be kohen in four amos or amos. No, the Rambam is talking about here this case of a chatzar. So one possibility is when we say that he lent her a space, doesn't necessarily mean the entire chatzar. He lent her the entire chatzar. He lent her the area temporarily, the area where she's standing, which is makom shel adam is dalad amos. The Mishnah continued, afilo hu ima b'mitzah chula, that even if it, the get, is with her in the bed. It's interesting, when I wasn't here yesterday, so I didn't specifically prepare it, but I was looking it over just to learn it to learn it for myself as part of Daf Yomi. I noticed the Sansino translates it, even if he is with her in the bed. But that can't be. What? No, because
Sansino, the places, no, it was in the bed.
No, they translated it as he.
They meant
the man. But then why is he throwing her the get if they're together in one bed? He has no need to throw it to her. So all the Mepharshim explain that it means it, the get. So even if the get landed with her in the bed, nevertheless, no good. Amar Rava, Loishanu Alav Mitzah Shaloi. This only applies if the bed belongs to the husband. Abu Mitzah Shaloi. But if it lands in her bed, so even if it's her bed which is in his house, Megurash, then she is Megurash, then it does work. We learn similarly in the Braisa, I'm a Mitzah Shaloi and a Megurash, if it lands in his bed, even though she's sitting or lying in it, then it's not a get, because the equivalent of landing in his chatzah. But Mitzah Shaloi Megurash, if it lands in her bed, then she's Megurash. Because that's the question. If it's thrown into his bed, fine. Well, the chiddush is afagav afilu hu ima b'mitzah. The chiddush is that even though if it's his bed, she's standing in it. You would think maybe that's the equivalent of like he lent her a space in his chatzah or whatever. But no. Yeah. But the question is. Caleb, the question is why? For mitzvah shalom megurashes, why should she be megurashes if it landed? Even if the bed belongs to her, still it's in his house. Caleb shalakech b'rishus meichahu. This is the case of the keli of the buyer is in the rishus of the seller. And you have a discussion in Baba Basra, a machlokes in Baba Basra, whether that works, whether the lakech can be kaida in such a way. On the one hand, it's his keli. On the other hand, that keli is in the rishus of the meicher. Unless he actually gave him specific permission to have it there, that which is another matter, then that's machlokas, whether it's a thing. If the piece of wood, if it's small enough to be bottled to the chotzer, then fine, it's bottled. Kaylee has a messias of its own. Anyway, so since that's a machlokas, how can we just say as a blanket statement, pun not intended, that if it landed in a bed that belongs to her, but it's in his house, that it would work? The answer is, loitzricha de gavaya asara. Yes, but you could be talking, we have to be talking about a case where the bed is 10 tefachim tall.
Can you say that the bed is like a yad?
How is it a yad? It doesn't belong to her. I mean, the bed belongs to her, it's her keli, fine, but it's in birshus lakeach, it's in birshus meicher. So according to the opinion that keli shal lakeach, birshus meicher is good, fine, there's no problem. According to the opinion that not, what do you do? So the answer is, if the bed is 10 tefachim tall, then it's a rishus of its own. Then you can't say that the rishus of the seller, or in this case the husband, is mevatel that keli. Question is, what about the space of the legs of the bed? Fine, the body of the bed is more than 10 tefachim above the ground, but the legs stand on the ground. People don't usually mind the space where the legs of the bed are. Since the bed itself is more than 10 tefachim tall, and Rashi points out, therefore it's easy for the husband to use the space under the bed for whatever he wants, therefore he doesn't mind that the bed is still standing over there, the legs of it are standing on the floor. The problem is that you have no, but would it? I mean, as far as Hilchos Shabbos, it would be a reshus b'katnas. Fine, no, they're not chaskel, etc. Yeah, but we're talking about gittin. Bechora, still such a keli on the face of it might be bottled because again, mela, if you say the bed itself is more than 10 tefachim high, so the bed is not bottled to the rest of the reshus. But the legs of it, lechora, are. So based on that, then, if we would assume that the moicher is makbid, or in this case, that's the point. In other words, that then we would argue that the fact that the legs are on the ground prevents the whole thing. It makes the whole thing caleb shal moicher go shal lakeach v'shus moicher.
That's what we thought.
But that So, if, in other words, if the bed was suspended in the air 10 feet from above the ground, sure, there'd be no problem. But if not, if some part of it still has to stand on the floor. The answer is the part that's standing on the floor, like Tafti and Shi, people are not makbid on. So Rashi says, okay, maybe you might be makbid, hold on, maybe you might be makbid with a third party, you're not going to be makbid with your wife. And it's not a matter of the Aver, I mean, the Torah says also, the actual location of the bed, the top of the bed itself, also, you're not going to mind if it's there. In order to make that prevent the get from taking effect.
Sure.
So you're fine with that.
If the bed is piling at Fahim,
then it's okay. It's her bed, so it's considered her rishus. The legs were saying he's moichel on.
Right.
If the bed is below 10 tefachim, then it's subject to the machlokas about kalev shel moichel rishus, like kalev shel lekeach rishus moichel, depending on these two different opinions, right? The halacha is, well, in this case, we're saying gavoya asara. I think the halacha is that Caleb shall look after Shus Mordechai is not koine, but I'm not sure about that, though. Okay. I'm chesem and alef. L'seich cheiko. Okay. L'seich cheiko, l'seich halacha megurashis. The Mishnah continued that if the husband throws the get and it lands in her lap, cheiko actually means like her skirts that may be trailing on the ground or whatever, or into her halacha, into her head basket, then she's megurashes. So again, the question is, am I why? You have the same problem. Caleb shalakeach b'rishus mocher. You have the same problem. That it's her keli, but it's in the rishus of the mocher. She's standing in her husband's house or chutzah or what have you. How does the fact that it landed in her skirts or in her head basket, how does that help? The answer is Amar v'hodam shmuch v'en chayse kalosa tluyaba. The case is. The case is that the kalosa, that this basket was hanging off her. So it's hanging from her body. So therefore, it's not even on the ground. Therefore, there's no brishus lekeach. There's no brishus mocha to worry about over here.
Right?
This is one that's
mea ofa.
One
that's what? Mea ofa.
Okay. Yeah. That's what we're talking about, yeah. So it's hanging around her neck or whatever, yeah.
So it's not in the
rishus. The chen omer abalazah omer abayshik, and she's a kalotah pluyaba. Yeah, the abalazah says the same thing. Rav Shimon, he's saying the same thing. So then she's a kalotah, the chen omer abalazah omer abayshik, and she's a kalotah pluyaba. Yeah, but we've got to be a little quick.
When I looked at that, the thing from her, it doesn't have to be off the ground, but as long as it connects to her, that's the next one.
Rav Shimon Lakasham, sure, off of the end of the floor. You don't even need that. It can be tied to her, even if it's not hanging off the ground. It may be dragging along on the ground, but it's kosher bar, it's attached to her. That itself is good enough. That makes it enough.
She's carrying a basket. There's a string.
We don't even know. So there's a string hanging. The string is a small enough thing that nobody's going to be mastered on. But we're saying something else. We're saying the location where she's standing, obviously, she is contrary to her temporarily. It's her makom. Therefore, anything either that's hanging from her off the ground is not an issue. Also, Rish Lakish is saying that if it's dragging along behind her, but it's attached to her. Even though it's not hanging yet. Another possibility. Another way you can have it is usually the kalsa would be on her head. So it's a work basket that she keeps on her head. But you can have, instead, it's between her legs. She's sitting or squatting down or whatever, and she has it in front of her like that. So therefore, Rashi says nobody's going to be makbid on the place. The guy's not makbid on the place where she's sitting. Up until now, she had she was entitled to sit in that place. So now, when the get lands over there, then it's also the shittim kavetz. So adds also that the fact is it's a space that you can't use for any other purpose anyhow. She's sitting there. It's right in front of her. You can't use it for anything else anyhow. Therefore, of necessity, he's going to be mochel on it. Another possibility you could have is that her husband sells kolossus. So therefore, he has a whole room that's set aside for these kinds of baskets. Therefore, he doesn't mind if there's another basket sitting over there. There's a number of Rishonim, the Rimi Gash, the Rabbeinu Gershom, and around a couple of others have a different take on it. They say that what we're talking about is that she just bought one of these kolossus from her husband. And then he threw the guess and he landed in it, and it landed in there. He's so pleased that he made a sale that in return he's willing to lend her the spot, temporarily the spot where that kalsa is sitting, and therefore it's not Birshut Moshe. He's giving her a guess, but yeah. Okay. There's a couple of other takes that various Mepharshim have on it. One of them being since he sells kalsas, he's happy to have another one around as advertising. It shows that he has a lot of kalsas for sale. Rabbi Yechon, I'm a mokum cheka konula, mokum kalsa konula. Rabbi Yechon says you don't even need all that. The space of her skirt is already acquired by her temporarily. And the same thing, the space of the kalsa, regardless of it hanging off her, sitting in front of her, whatever, it's all bustle to her basically. My time is at Rabbi Yechon and Lepisha. I don't have makbid. Loyal mokum cheka, loyal mokum kalsa. Because normally a person is not going to be makbid on these small areas of the space of her skirts or the space of her kalsa. And in fact, we learn similarly in Braisa. Or if he throws it into anything which is similar to the kalasa, which the point is, Rashi says that shows that the key thing is, like Rabbi Yochanan said, the fact that he's not makbid on the area. Because we're talking about obviously something that she uses on a regular basis. It's something specific to her that she uses on a regular basis, similar to the kalasa. Hareza Megureshes, then she's Megureshes. Called over shake kalsa lisui mai. What is this phrase called over shake kalsa? What does that come to include? Lisui taska da akobatsmori. It comes to include, for example, a bag that she eats dates out of. So again, it's something that she keeps with her regularly and something that's meant for her personal use. So there also, she has that in front of her and she's eating dates out of it and he throws the get and it lands in there. Also, Magurashis. Mishnah says, Omo a kinsi shtarchoiv zeh. If the husband says to the wife, take this shtarchoiv. It's not a shtachoyv, it's a guess, but he's handing it to her, pretending like it's a shtachoyv. Or if she found it behind him, chora, and she opened it up and read it, and she finds it's a get. She finds that this is a get. Ain't a get. It's not a valid get. Actually, unless he actually tells her, this is your get. Now, we did have a Mishnah a few weeks ago that had a situation where the husband says to some Edim, I'm going to be giving my wife a get, and then he tells her, Kinsi Shtar Chayvzeh. We learned over there that actually, the Gemara had said that actually is okay. So why, what's the difference between that and this? There's a number of different takes that the Mepharshim have on it. Tosfos discusses over here, that's one of them, which is, There's a few different reasons that Mepharshim give why anyway. Why b'chlal would you have to tell her how to raise a gitnich? Hey gitnich, whatever. Tosfos gives one of them, which is she needs to know that she's divorced because what's the point? Once she's divorced, the yotzim basis, she has to know that she's leaving his house and she's not coming back. Mishal chaveinu chazeres. So if she doesn't know it's a get, she's not gonna realize that. So if you told the Edim ahead of time that I'm going to be giving her a get, and then you tell it to her claiming that it's a shtar chayv, fine, the Edim will tell her later that it's really a get, and she'll know that she's mishalach hasvein chazeres. If you just give it to her without telling her, once she received it, technically she doesn't have to keep it anymore. She, as a practical matter, she still want to in order to be able to collect her tzibah, et cetera, but in principle, she doesn't need to. If she were to receive it and never read it, and then it got lost or burnt or what have you, she might never know that she was divorced. She'd be mishalcha v'chazera, so that's no good, Tosfos says.
That's
the point. Therefore, unless he says, so it has to be, according to, so it has to be, so Tosfos is saying, to reconcile this with the other Gemara, it has to be that somebody, either she herself or the Edim, who afterwards will tell her, has to be informed that this is a get.
But there is a third
kaira. No, mitzvah atzma achorav is kaira. The first case with kinti shtar chavzera doesn't necessarily mean that she read it.
So
actually, there are Mepharshim who say somewhat similarly. There are Rishonim who learn the reason why you have to say hey Gittich is because if you say just Kinsi Shtar Chavzeh without informing anybody, not her and not the Edim, that it's a get. The concern may be that you're being mevatalit. If you're being mevatalit, then it's not a get.
That's
kind of the bottom of it. Patient talk, sorry. No, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Okay, but whatever it is. I mean, even in the first case, no. But he says kinsish tachos. It doesn't have to be that. No, the chiddush is even kod of areu gita ain again. Because at the time of the giving, she wasn't informed. Whereas at least if the Hayden were informed ahead of time, in principle they could be telling her right when she receives it. That's not a shaykh.
According to the opinion that maybe it's karata, ahead of time, then maybe he has karata after.
No, that's why when he gives it to her, he's supposed to say it again. Oh, so okay, so if he told the Adim that it's going to be a guest, and then he tells her kinsi shtar chozeh, if he meant to be mevato, what he's saying, he would have said so. Yeah. Until he tells her, this is your get. Tosfos, by the way, brings that actually what you should have to do when a husband gives his wife a get, he should have to say not only hey gitnich, he should have to actually say the words harei mucharos lecholadam. I believe when gitin are given nowadays, I believe the normal seder again includes that detail. Next, nothing beyond of a he is shena. What if he puts the get in her hand while she's sleeping? Ne oro, then she wakes up. Koro vareu gitev, and she reads it and finds that it's her get. Also ain't a get, also not a valid get. Actually, I'm like, hey, get this. No, because he only put it into her hands when she's sleeping. It doesn't matter. No, but this is a different thing.
He was sent to her before he's going to give her a get.
No, but that doesn't matter, because it has to be that she receives it with some kind of das. We don't need her das, we don't need her consent to receive a get. She has to know that she received it, basically. So ain't a get, actually, I'm like, hey, get this, until he tells her, this is your get. What about in the second case of the Mishnah where it says that she found it behind him and then pulled it out of his pocket or something? So what if he says, hey, gitach my havi? How does that help? Isn't it the equivalent of telling her, I'm putting your get on the floor, pick it up from there? Where it's not within her four amos or whatever, all the various cases of yesterday. And Rava says that that's no good, because it has to be that he gives it to her, but not send the other.
In her
Abamas, in her Yad, in her Chosu, whatever, but something, yeah. The answer is, Ema Sheshlofatu Me'achoro. So you have to say, not that she found it behind him, but rather that she pulled it out from behind him. Okay, how does that help? Shlofatu Nami Habrinin Venothin, the Yad of Elekta. Fine, but you need that he gives it into her hand, and you don't have that. The answer is, Loi Tzuricha, De'orak Loi Chautze Ushlafte. If he bent his, suppose that it was tied, let's say it was stuck in his belt. She reaches over to get it. He kind of like moves his hips towards her so that she can get it more easily. So then there's a certain action of his involved in giving it to her. So then when he does that and then he pulls it out, then that makes it that there's been to that extent of enough and the other that he caused it, that it was placed into her hand.
If he moves it away,
if he moves it away, that would then obviously not. Yeah. However, there is something that the Rishonim bring from Rabbeinu Hananel, who has a different explanation of the Orach Lechayotze. It means not only it means that besides the moving his hips, it also means, for example, we're talking about that the get was very tightly stuck into his waistband. She wouldn't be able to pull it out, not just with him moving his hips towards her. All that does is it makes it easier for her to reach it. But she could have gotten it without that as well. Orach Lechayotze, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, means something else. It means that it was so tightly in his waistband that she couldn't pull it out. So what he did is he sucked in his stomach there a little bit in order to loosen things and make it possible for her to get it out. Only that. So according to Rabbeinu Hananel, actually, it comes out you need both. You'd need that he does that and he also moves towards her in order for it to be valid. Similarly, that the husband tells the wife, take the shtar chov, or she pulled it out from behind him. So here we clearly see, unlike the Mishnah says, after me'achorav, she found it behind him. Here it's clearly shlofatu, she pulled it out. Karatu v'areu gitter, she reads it and finds that it's a get. Ain't a get, actually, emelah hei gitter, until he tells her, here's your get. Divrei Rebbe, that's what Rebbe says. Reb Shimon Lozor says, lo'olam ain't a get, actually, it's lano hei menor v'yachta v'yitmen lo. Reb Shimon Lozor says, even that's not enough. You need, in that case, you would need that since it didn't come to her with a proper hechsher, since it didn't come to her, says Reb Shimon Elazar, in the proper way, what would have to be done is he would have to take it back from her and then give it back and then give it to her and then tell her hey gitzich. So in other words, according to Rebbe, it's good enough if she pulled it out. He did the other chalachayse and whatever. And then she takes it and then she reads it. She finds it to get and says, hey, gittich. Where's the coin? So Shimon Alok, you need that right at the time of the giving that he says, hey, gittich. So therefore, we'll have to take it back and give it to her the proper way. If he doesn't, then it's no good, right? When we say he gets it, I mean, don't I? So the rabbanon on the siyah. Continue the brayta. Nothing be other. If the husband placed the get in the wife's hand, the he is shena, and she was asleep at the time. Ne'ora, she woke up, a koda, and she read it, for her to get there, and she finds that it's a get. Again, ain't a get, until he tells her after she woke up, here's your get, divu rebi. And again, no, even that's not good enough. He has to actually take it from her and give it to her, and at the time of the giving, say, hey, get it. Not afterwards, right? So we have two machlokas. The Gemara says it's tzricha. We need both cases. We need both machlokas. Because if you only have the first case where she pulled it out of his waistband, you would say by he called the Rebbe. You would say, okay, in that case, Rebbe says it's good enough to tell her, hey, get it after the fact. Because right now she is at least capable of being divorced. She has the das to know that she's being divorced. Mashal Chavena Chazeres, etc. But in the second case, when he put it in her hands when she's sleeping, the La Bat Igarushi, at that time, she's not capable of being divorced because she doesn't have the ask. You would think maybe Rebbe agrees with her Shimon Alazo that the Hey Gita has to be said at the time when she received it with the ask. That's that part. And if we only have the second machlokas, you'd say the other way around. That only in that case does Rishon ben Elazar say they actually give to her when she's conscious and say, hey, gittich. But in the other case, maybe you'd think he agrees with Rebbe. So therefore, we need both cases. Incidentally, by the way, based on all of this and also what we're going to learn on Amud Beis about giving the get into the wife's hand, so there is a bit of discussion among the Poskim about B'chlal, to what extent Tosfos discusses it on Amud Beis in connection with a different thing, in connection with what we're going to have over there, a get that has a string attached to it. Does the whole giving of the get have to be accomplished by the husband, or can some of it be done, you know, can some of it be facilitated by the wife as well? I mean, here we have the case where she pulled it out of his waistband. But it's actually not so simple. On another day, we'll have more about it, and we'll have what Tosfos says over there. In the Seder, I get, in the way they give a get nowadays, what they do is basically they tell the wife to have to hold her hand closed and have the husband push the get into her hand. So that way she's not facilitating the receiving of it at all. She's completely passive in it, and he's doing all of the work of giving it to her. And that way, it's definitely even nothing to yada without any question.
She extends her hand towards him.
Extending her hand is fine, but until the get is placed in her hand, it's not. But he's the one who actually places it in. He doesn't just, for example, open his hand and she take it out, or he place it in her hand and whatever. Yeah. If he writes to a get and places it in the hand of her slave who is sleeping, and meanwhile she's standing over him and watching him, that's a get, that's a valid get. Neir ain't a get, but if he gives it to the Eved while the Eved is awake, then it's not a get. Because then you have a chotzer that's the Eved is the equivalent of a chotzer, but it's a chotzer that's being guarded not using her das, because the Eved has das of his own. He's able to hold on to the get on his own. So it's not similar to a chotzer or yad. The chotzer is a mishum yad in the first place, which has no independent das of its own. Yeah. The question is, Yoshin or Shamarta are they the get? Fine, you're saying if he's sleeping and she's standing over and watching him, it's a valid get. Amai chotzer halachasi, but why? You have a different issue with it. There's a different issue. That's a chotzer that's capable of walking. But chotzer halachas lekana, and a chotzer that's capable of walking, Rava himself tells us in Rava Matzia, is not a place where you can make a valid opinion.
What do you mean a chotzer?
A chotzer that's capable of walking would be an eved or an animal, something that's capable of moving under its own power. A yad is not capable of moving under its own power. A chotzer, a regular chotzer, is not either. So a chotzer has to be something that's in.
A
the basic idea of chosar? Well, chosar is mishum yad. It's an extension of the concept of yad, but the yad doesn't move on its own. Neither can a chosar. A chosar hamahalach is not considered a valid thing.
What about the kav?
It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, yeah, the pasta's a car, doesn't travel.
It cannot move by itself.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Maybe one.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
The Google one.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Yeah. The Chitema, actually, come to think of it, I think the Gemara talks about in Bava Metzia, in that area over there, in the first parak of Bava Metzia, the Gemara talks about it, I think, in connection with a ship, whether a ship is a valid chotzer for Kenyan. I don't remember what it says over there, whether it's, I mean, the ship doesn't just float with the water, it moves, you know, it moves by people moving it or whatever. I don't remember, actually, so I'm not going to say anything. When we get to it, if he threw it, well, yes, but also anything else. I mean, can you be kind of, if you're sailing down the water and some fish land in your boat, have you been kind of them with Kenyan Chatzit? Okay, when we get to Bava Metzia towards the end of this year, Beis Hashem, we'll discuss it. So, the Chitema Yoshin Shiny, so you're going to say, okay, well, the Eved's sleeping, he can't walk. Can't. Any case where something would not be able to be a place for a Kenyan if it's walking, it's not a valid thing for a Kenyan if it's standing or if it's sitting either. So the Eved is the Eved sleeping. How does that help? The Gemara says the Hilchos of a Kofu. The halacha is what Rava is saying has to apply when he's tied up. When he's tied up, then he's conscious. So are we talking about that he's conscious? The Rambam learns that, yes. The Rambam learns that what the Gemara is saying, the Hilchos of a Kofu is all you need is Kofu. Doesn't matter whether he's awake or not, once he's Kofu, then the fact that he's not a chotzer mahalach is the key thing. He's mishnameres shalos baita, that we're not worried about. The Gemara has gone back on that. Other Rishonim learn that, no, what we need is both. We need him to be kofos and sleeping. You don't have either problem. He's not a chotzer mahalach because he's tied up, and he's not chotzer mishnameres shalos baita because he has no da'at of his own because he's asleep. Mishnah says, Hoysa medes b'shus rabim, if the woman is standing in b'shus rabim, v'zokei lo, and the husband throws her the get, Kodav lo megureshes, if it lands close to her, then she's megureshes. Kodav loy ain't megureshes, if it lands close to him, she's not. Mechzal mechza megureshes v'ain megureshes. If it lands someplace in the middle, which we'll discuss in the Gemara, what it means exactly, then she's, not quite Suffolk. Tosfos points out on the base, it does not, it's the Gemara. If the Mishnah meant Suffolk, then it would say so. Megureshes v'ain megureshes means in certain senses we consider her divorced, but in certain senses not. She will need chalitza, for example, because she can't do yivum because to a certain extent she's divorced. She'll still need chalitza because ain't megureshes. She's still entitled to mezonos because she's not fully megureshes, etc. So it's half and half. By the way, when we say Rishus Rabim, the Gemara discusses in Bava Basra the question of whether a person can be koinah with Kinyan Dalet Amos Ashes in Bava Metzia, in that same place in Shnayim Oslim, whether you can be koinah with Kinyan Dalet Amos in an actual Rishus Rabim. If we say you can, then the Mishnah means Rishus Rabim at face value. If not, and that's the halacha, then it would have been Rishus Rabim of our Mishnah would have to be basically anything that's not Rishus Yachin. Not really a real Rishus Rabim, 16 Amos and everything, but rather a Simta, a side street where business is commonly transacted. Okay. And the same thing would apply as far as Kedushin. If he throws her the money or the shtar for Kedushin, same thing with it lands close to one, close to the other, etc. And the same thing applies as far as a debt. Namely, if the creditor of the malva says, throw me what you owe me, the zorker loy, and he throws it to him, karav l'malva zocha malva. So if it lands closer to the malva than the malva has been zoche in it, karav l'loyva ha'loyva chayev, if it lands closer to the loyva than the loyva is obligated, still to pay, mechzal mechza shneim yachloiko, and if it lands in the middle, then they'd have to divide it. What's the situation? Rashi explains what the case is. He threw it, and then afterwards it got lost. It got burned up, it got stolen, whatever it is. So if it had landed closer to the malva, the loiver would say, basically, look, it landed closer to you. Not my problem what happens after that. I paid off the debt. Whereas if it caught the loiver, then he's still on the hook to pay it. But the Mordechai has a different understanding of it. He says that what it is, if it lands closer to, suppose that the loiver throws it, and then as he's throwing it, as it left his hand, he says, you know what? Actually, on second thought, I don't want to pay it back now. Let me keep it, and I'll pay you back at some later date. If it landed closer to the Malvet, too late. He doesn't have the opportunity, he doesn't have the ability to do that anymore. Whereas if it landed closer to him, then he still has the ability to say, you know what, I'll take it back and I'll pay you later.
And if it landed in the middle,
then Shneim Yechloiku, yeah. I guess so, yeah. Sigma says, Hechi Damit Kardav Lo, Hechi Damit Kardav Lo. What do we mean closer to him? What do we mean closer to her? Amar Rav, Ava Amas Shalor Zer Kardav Lo. If it lands in her four Amas, then it means closer to her. Ava Amas Shalor Zer Kardav Lo. The question is then, Hechi Damit Mechzal Mechzal. In that case, what do you mean in the middle? Amar Shmuel Eitzel Kencher Shneim Omdin Ava Amas. Okay, let's say you have both of them are standing within four Amas of the get. So the entire get is within an area that's overlapping of, her, of his four amas and her four amas. That's mechzal mechzal. The question is why? The left the heiminai ukadim. Why? Let's see which one got into those four amas first. Av amas shal adam is his makom. So whichever one got there first is the one that became his av amas. The other person now is overlapping into that. That doesn't take away from their temporary ownership of that dalet amas. So whichever one got there first, it's their reshus. Yeah. The chitema also tabayu v'adi adabi. Okay, so you're going to answer that. Maybe you're talking about both of them came from opposite directions at exactly the same time. But v'ha'i ekshal atzamsin. But we know as a general thing throughout Shas, there's machloikas in a number of places. Do we say ekshal atzamsin or ekshal atzamsin? Meaning, when we have something where the din goes according to if you have the majority of this or a majority of that, or in this case one person's four amas or the others, we very often we say e-epshal of samson. You can't really determine which one it's impossible to measure so precisely to be able to determine that it really is not even a molecule close, not even a millimeter closer to one or closer to the other one. Namely, therefore, Tosfos says, and I'm amazed, what it would mean is it would be a case of a suffix. But the Mishnah didn't say suffix. The Mishnah said Megurashis Vein and Megurashis. So we're not talking, so obviously not talking about it's a case of E-Epshal Tzamtzim, and in principle it is closer to one or closer to the other one. We just don't know. No, the Mishnah is telling us that it's actually considered that it is literally in the four amas of both of them. But how could that be? El Amar Kana, Hocha B'Ches Amas Mitzim Tzomas Eskinen. So no, Rav Kana says, rather, we're talking about that there's exactly eight Amas between them. There's exactly eight Amas between them. The get between the husband and the wife, so the husband is standing here, the wife is standing here. The get is partially in his four Amas and partially in her four Amas. So he's standing here, his four Amas go to here. She's standing here, her four Amas go to here. The get is lying over here.
Like this,
doesn't matter. Part of it doesn't matter. Part of it is in his fuamas, part of it is in her fuamas. Okay, then the question becomes, agid kamei. The problem with that is, though, that then isn't it considered that it's still attached to him. It's still a little bit in his rishus. It has to be the nosan biyada, that it goes completely into her rishus. But that doesn't work. Anyway. Yeah, it was not so much because Christus, but because the nos and the yada. It has to be, he places it in her yad, in her rishus. The whole get has to be yet. Ella, so no. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef Damitavai, or Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef both say, Hoch b'shtei kita edim askinim. What we're talking about over here, the situation is you have two groups of edim who saw the get being thrown. Achas emeres karev lo, yiv achas emeres karev lo. One group says that it landed closer to him, one group says it landed closer to her. Now, two Edim against two Edim, we have it's a stalemate. That's what we mean, that Megureshes Veinim Megureshes. It's not really a suffix. It's not a suffix. It's not you have a suffix which pair of Edim to believe. The din is, when you have two Edim against two Edim, then the whole is a stalemate. The Uki Trail of Adi Tre, and you just leave things as they are. So that's what it means, therefore, Megureshes Veinim Megureshes. That's what we say. In certain senses, she's Megureshes. In certain senses, she's not. She's still chayiv in the zonus, but she needs another get, but she needs chalitza, but she can't do yigum, etc. Tosfos, by the way, points out that on the face of it, you have a chazaka. Up until now, she's been an ashes ish. Why don't you use the chazaka to determine the situation? Tosfos says because of here we have a suffix dirabanan when you have two when you have two edim against two edim.
What do you mean a chazaka?
Yeah, up until now, she's had a chazaka of an ashes ish. If you want to say that she's no longer an ashes ish, even in some sense, in any sense, you need to have some kind of solid proof for it. The answer is, but over here, it's a suffix. When you have two Edim against two Edim, then you have a suffix in abonon. So therefore we're going to say so. Because of that suffix, we're not saying the Mishnah is not telling us that it's a suffix. The Mishnah is telling us Megurash, that in certain senses she's definitely Megurash, in certain other senses she's definitely not Megurash, but we're doing that because of the underlying suffix.
Megurash and Megurash
to Bidaraisa? So Bidaraisa, she would be Megurash to at least to some extent, yeah, because you have a one set of agents saying that a land is closer to her.
She's still anxious.
But she's still an Eishes Ish for other purposes. So if somebody else is Nizanev with her, for example, you might not be able to neither of them might be Chayiv Misa, but yeah. Reminds me, by the way, that when we talked about it in the Mishnah, Klal, the concept of if it lands within her four Amas, she's Megurash, Rishonim discuss on what basis. The whole concept of Dalad Amas being kind of for a person is only Dinabonim. So where do we get that should affect the Dinim of Midar Aiti? There's no such thing as Dalad Amas being kind of for you. So weird. So how Daraisa, if something lands within 4 amos of you, nothing. That's not, but in this case, it has to be Vinasan Viyada, that he places it in her yad. Only Midrabbanan is this area considered her yad, her chatzos. So how does that help? We have a couple of different takes on it that Rishonim have. One of them is that the Chachamim were makna that place to you, so therefore it becomes the hefker based in hefker, as we've learned before, based in has the ability to make to give you ownership of something that you didn't have, Daraisa. So fine, you have ownership of that space. Once you have ownership of that space, then the din of chaser, which is Daraisa, can take effect.
Could that be the meaning of the Mishnah that says Goyishus Nechamim Tereshit, Rabbanan and Daraisa?
No. No, because if it lands within her, we're talking about if it definitely lands within her 4 amos, we're saying, yeah.
Midrabbanan, she's divorced.
No, Daraisa, she has to be divorced at that point. It landed within her 4 amos. She's divorced, definitely Daraisa. The question is how, if the whole mechanism of Dalad Amas is only the Rabbanan. So that's right. So one answer is, because, no, so it's not the Gurash, it's the Gurash, is where it lands mech to the mech, where it lands someplace in the middle. Yeah. So, but if it lands within her 4 amas, she's definitely Megurash. But how does that work if the mechanism of Dalad Amas is only the Rabbanan? So one possibility is because of Hefker based in Hefker. Another possibility is because of Hinu Rabbanan Lekidushin, because in a case like that, as we've learned before, when you have cases where a get is only going to be valid, where get is going to be valid Daraisa but invalid Rabbanan for one reason or another, and the Chachamim can undo the original Kiddushin and make it as though there was never any Kiddushin here in the first place. And then that's the Ramban's answer, yeah. Rabbi Yochanan, I'm a Korev Loshanina. Rabbi Yochanan says when we say that the get is closer to her, it means literally, actually, whether it's closer or you actually have to deter, it's not just 4 amas or anything like that. It's you have to see how close it is. I feel a mea ama. It means even if it's 100 amas away, but if it's closer to her than to him. The Korev Loshanina, I feel a mea ama. And the same thing when we say closer to him also means even if it's 100 amas away. Okay, in that case, Hechidomi Mechzal Mesa. In that case, what's the case Mechzal Mesa? Rabbi Yochanan personally explained to me that it's like this. It's not really a matter of distance. If it's a case where he's able to guard it from anything happening to it, so he may be far away, but he has a direct line of sight to it and is able to keep an eye on it, but she's not, and that's considered that it's closer to him. If it's the other way around, if she's able to watch over it but he's not, zo kodek law, and that's considered kodek law. Yeah, who has control? Shneim yecholim l'shomer, shneim ein yecholim. If both of them are able to watch it, or both of them are not able to watch it, and Tosfos says that doesn't mean neither of them can watch it at all. Obviously, it wouldn't be a valid get then. It means the only way for it to be watched is the two of them together. So then, that's what means either one on their own would be able to watch it, or means that the only way it's going to take the two of them together watching it. Neither one by itself is fully able to watch it. For example, if it's around a corner or something, and it takes both of them looking from opposite directions. Okay. So the Rabbanan told over Rabbi Yochanan, who was in Eretz Yisrael, they told this explanation over in the name of Rabbi Yonasan, who was from Babel. Omar, so Rabbi Yochanan was very impressed. He says, Yadin Chavrin Bavloy Lefarushiki Haitaima. Really, I didn't know that our friends in Babel know how to explain the Mishnah this way. He was impressed with the fact that they were able to come up with this explanation on their own. Tanya Nami Hochi, we learn similarly in the Braisa, Rabbi Leza Omer, Kolsha, this, according to Rabbi Yechon's explanation, Rabbi Leza Omer, Kolsha Ukarev Lo Miloy, if it's closer to her, then it's closer to him, Uvok Kelev Venotle, and then a dog, let's say, comes and runs away with it, Ena Megureshes, then it's not, that she's not Megureshes. What do you mean? She doesn't have to keep it forever. Once it landed closer to her, that ought to be enough. The get has taken effect. If afterward the dog runs off with it, who cares? Ella lav hachikama. Isn't that then, we must say that what the Braisa means is, kol shekarev lo miloy, if it's physically closer to her than to him, but v'ilu bakela v'natloy v'hu yachal l'shemre v'hieni yachal l'shemre, but even though it's physically closer to him in distance, to her in distance, but if a dog were to come and take it, he would be able to watch it. He would be able to, he's close enough to be able to get to keep the dog from taking it. But he ain't a chol l'shemer, but she's not able to, because even though she's closer, she's out of sight or whatever. Ain't a megurash, that's what, so she's not megurash. Therefore, we see that supports what Rabbi Yechon is saying, that it's not a matter of how, of the actual distance, it's a matter of the control you have.
I'm a little smaller. If he sends his dog, take the get and to give it to him.
I don't think that would be a shliach. Has to be, we learned before that a shliach can't be a cheder, a shirt, a cotton, a goy. No, there has to be a bardas. It has to be a bardas. It has to be somebody who's capable of, who was in the genome of shlichos. Yeah. Come on. I'm a little smaller, Rabbi Yehuda. I'm a little smaller, Rabbi Yehuda. Shinina. And we've learned many times before the expression Shinina, that it was Shmuel's nickname for Rabbi Yehuda. It means the sharp one. The Goyim have an expression, they have an explanation that it means the one with big teeth. Anyway, he tells him, Shinina, Kidei Shetashuach V'titlanu. Technically, when the Mishnah is saying that it's closer to her, means only if it's close enough to her that she'd be able to bend down and take it off the ground. However, you should not ask him that it's considered a valid get until it actually reaches her hand. Because it's very easy to confuse. Basically, well, there are different mepharshim. Is he saying on the Mishnah that technically it would be valid if it's within arm's reach, but to be on the safe side, let's say that it's not a valid get until she actually gets it in her hand? Is he saying it in reference to the Mishnah, or is he saying it as kind of a new statement? Mordechai tells Rav Ashi, have a ugda hachi. As a matter of fact, there was a case like that where it landed closer to her, but then the husband died, the atrucho chalitza and the chachamim required her to do chalitza. So even though it was technically a valid get, because it landed closer to her, nevertheless, because of this thing that Shmuel was saying, they said midrabanan is still an issue and required her to do chalitza. So that also goes back to what we were talking about on Amud Aleph, about her participating in the receiving of the get. Part of the problem is, if she has to reach down and get it, means that he didn't do the full Messina to her. So therefore, that's what I'm saying. That's why they do it nowadays, that he has to actually push it into her hand, in order that this way he's doing the full Messina and there's no problem at all.
So the halacha is...
So that's the halacha. It's supposed to be done that way. From hand to hand, yeah. Or in her chatzar. No, if it lands in her chatzar or whatever, that's fine. We're talking about over here the Dalai Lama. In Kiddushin, the Mishnah continued that the same thing holds true as far as Kiddushin. So, Amr Abasi, Amr Abichin, Legitin Amru V'lo V'davachah. This din that we're saying about closer to him or closer to her only applies by Gittin, not by anything else. So not by a Choy, for example. Rashi says the difference is because a get can be given Baal Korcha, she doesn't require her consent anyway, therefore it can be Korev Law and still be fine. But in other cases, Kiddushin, Choyvus, or whatever, you need the consent of the other person to receive it, so therefore not. Other Rishonim say a different reason that the Chachamim may have been makel when it comes to Gittin, because you don't want to have a case of Igun. You don't want to have a case where he threw it and then he left town and you're never going to be able to find him afterwards and she's going to be left in Aguna. Whereas in other situations, a Kedushin or Chayv or whatever, you don't have that issue. Okay, so we learned the other day about Nesina, Nesina Baal Kochav and Nesina. Tosfos pointed out over here. But, for example, yes, you do have a case, because, let's say, for example, you borrowed, as Gemara talks about in Bava Kamma, let's say you borrowed money from somebody in the city, and now you're out in the middle of nowhere and you want to return him the money. The Malva has the ability to say, I don't want you to return it to me here, I'm very likely to get held up, and then I'll lose it. I'm refusing to take it from you now, I want us to wait till we get back to the city. And that way, if we get held up, it's your loss, not mine.
But there is a return to what that the placing was borrowed, you cannot refuse it.
That's fine, but at least there is a possibility of refusing it, whereas with a get, you don't have that. She can't say, I don't want to receive my get here, I want to receive it someplace else. A straight up avalot of
Vasi.
No, well, yeah, I mean, practically speaking, yes, we've learned cases about that earlier in the Masechta. I mean, in principle, not. In principle, if it's given to her even bar kocha, then that's it. But yeah, I mean, practically speaking, if it's brought through a shliach, then she may well have the ability to say, come back tomorrow or whatever. A spirit of avalot of Vasi, v'chein in kedushin. Our Mishnah said the same thing that applies to gittin applies to kedushin. The answer is shiny house and b'chtiv v'yot of v'chaita. Yes, but the difference is that with kedushin, you have a hekesh between gittin v'yotza and kedushin v'chaita. So whatever applies to gittin applies to kedushin. And therefore, so if you have a din that applies to gittin, that korev law is okay, then it works by kedushin as well. Even though maybe you don't have the reason, you don't have the reason that it can be bal korech, you don't have the reason mishumegun, but still the hekesh is the hekesh. What about, though, we learned in the Mishnah, the same thing applies as far as a debt, where he says, he says, throw me my, what you owe me, and he threw it to him. So we see it applies to loans as well. The answer is, the case is where he says, throw me what you owe me, and you will be potter, once you throw it. Well, so that case, he said you're potter. As opposed to, if he just says zrekli chayvi, it means that you have to throw it someplace where it means something. You have to throw it. You have to keep an eye on it until it actually reaches me. Next question is Yochem Eilam Emra. Then, if that case, what's the chiddush? Of course, he has the right to say that. Answer is, he says throw it to me in the way and the same rules will apply to it as applied by gittin. So therefore, since by gittin it works if it's karev law, if he says that when it comes to a chayv, then it works by that also, but not in the ordinary case.
Wait, he doesn't say it.
Still, then what's the chiddush? That's what Ma'ariv came and Motzi Amalei Mashda Anibach. You would think maybe he can say that I'm just kidding around with you. I never meant that as a serious thing that you can throw it to me and I'll consider it paid if it lands close to me and then a dog runs off with it or whatever. Kamashulam, that's the chiddush. He said it and we can hold him to his word. Get the yadai or meshicha b'yadai. If you have the get is in her hand, but there's a string attached to it that's in his hand, so the get is tied to a string, and then he has it in his hand. Im yochol anatko laviyet. So if he's able to pull the get it and pull it away from her, ain't megureshes, then she's not megurush. Because then you don't have krisus. He doesn't do a complete v'nosan v'yabe. It's not completely given into her hand. You also don't have a complete krisus. V'imlav megurashes. If not, for example, Tosfos says that, for example, if he can't pull it away, for example, the get is heavy and there's a string. The string is a thin string. If he tries to pull it, the string is going to snap. So then megurashes. My time of being in krisus v'leka. Why? Because you have to have krisus. There has to be a cutting off. And if he's able to pull it out of her hand, then not. Here's, by the way, where Tosfos mentions the thing about where if her hand is closed and he sticks the get in versus when she takes it out of his hand. If he gives it into her hand in the ordinary way, then for a moment over there you have it. One end of it is in his hand and one end of it is in her hand. And that can be a problem. If she's taking...
He removes his hand.
Tosfos actually says that rather the problem is if she closes her hand while the husband is holding one end of the get, then you'll have a problem because then it'll be yochol anakul aviyeh, that he's still able to pull it away. But because of the issues before, but nothing the other that we said is why she keeps her hand closed the chachila and he stuffs it in.
His hand away. When is she
Megurashis? She's Megurashis, yeah. If he sticks it in and then he pulls his hand away, that's it, yeah.
After when he pulls his hand away,
yeah.
That's when she's
Megurashis. Right. Because then it's any yochal aviyah within a game. Okay, I'm going to be hard. How is the yoda asui katata for us? If her hand was on a slant, the zorpilo, and he threw the get and it landed in her hand, after she gave the yoda, even if it landed in her hand, any Megurashis, then she's not Megurashis. Yeah, question is, am I hockey nuffle the abamas the darker nuffle? Yeah, it spells falls on the ground. So what? It falls within her four amas. The answer is, but the loy noch. Yes, the case could be that it didn't actually land on the ground. when it fell out of her hand, for example, it got burnt. It fell into a fire and got burnt. Whatever it is. Tosfos says we didn't even need that. We could have answered that she's standing in his chotzer and she doesn't have four amas, but okay. The question is, Gagarish Ma'avira da'av amas, so what? Shouldn't we say that she's Megureshes because it was within her four amas in the air? And if you're going to say that doesn't work, tipshit void of Beloza, then you should be able to answer the question that Beloza asked. Av amas sh'omr yesh lehen aver ein lehen aver. He asked, does the four amas extend up into space or does it not? Tipshit ein lehen aver. Based on what you're saying, it sounds like not. It was within her four amas, off the ground. Doesn't matter, though. We're saying it's no good. The answer is, hochab ma'eskin ve'medefa gav ha'nohar. No, the specific case we're talking about over here is she's standing with her hand like this, next to a river. So therefore, me'ikra le'ibud koi. It's not... If she was standing regular in the street or whatever, in the side street, whatever it is, and then it landed, and then you could argue for a moment it was in an aver where it's capable of landing on the ground within her four amas, and that's good. As it was falling, all of a sudden, unexpectedly, out of nowhere, a dog came and ran off with it. Not our problem. But here, l'chatchila, it was never destined to land on the ground within her four amas. It was going to land in the river and be swept away to begin with.
And if it's land, it's about to land, and
there's wind. That's what we're saying. That would be fine. That would be fine, at least according to one possibility, because it was expected to land on the ground. That's what we'll talk about it also in the Mishnah tomorrow, but not when it was still never going to land on the ground, because it was right away going to rain.
If you're on the phone in an airplane, and you have to fly over her, and you say, hurry up,
hurry up. How does it get there? I don't know. It lands in her hand, I guess so.